بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم. شعرف بلاو شیخ اول رومی وقت تبرید دورہ شیخ العرب العجم حضر مولان شاہ کی محمد اختر صاحب نور اللہ مرکدہ ہو. ٹائٹل اپنا زمین ایک دن خاک منقش نظر مدفن ہو گئی. ایک دن خاک منقش نظر مدفن ہو گئی. نفس کے گندے تقاضوں سے جو انبن ہو گئی. نفس کے گندے تقاضوں سے جو انبن ہو گئی. روح میری تم بھولو ریحان و سوسن ہو گئی. روح میری تم بھولو ریحان و سوسن ہو گئی. نفس کے گندے تقاضوں سے جو انبن ہو گئی. جب ہمارے آب و گل میں درد دل شامل ہوا. جب ہمارے آب و گل میں درد دل شامل ہوا. ان کی ہر منزل ہمارے پیش دامن ہو گئی. روح میری تم بولو ریحان و سوسن ہو گئی. کس قدر ظلمت کدا تھی انجمن ان کے بغیر. کس قدر ظلمت کدا تھی انجمن ان کے بغیر. اور ان کے آتے ہی سراپا بزم روشن ہو گئی. ان کے آتے ہی سراپا بزم روشن ہو گئی. ہم تو صحراؤں کو سمجھے تھے کہ ویرانی ہے وہاں. ہم تو صحراؤں کو سمجھے تھے کہ ویرانی ہے وہاں. ذکر حق کے فیض سے وہ ذکر حق کے فیض سے وہ رشک گلشن ہو گئی. روح میری تم بولو ریحان و سوسن ہو گئی. نفس دشمن ہو گیا مغلوب ان کی یاد سے. نفس دشمن ہو گیا مغلوب ان کی یاد سے. روح کی طاقت ہماری شیر افغان ہو گئی. روح کی طاقت ہماری شیر افغان ہو گئی. تلخ تھی بزم جہاں میں اہل دنیا کی حیات. تلخ تھی بزم جہاں میں اہل دنیا کی حیات. فیض بزم عاشقاں سے فیض بزم عاشقاں سے بزم گلشن ہو گئی. فیض بزم عاشقاں سے بزم گلشن ہو گئی. مت لگانا دل کو تم فانی بو حسینوں سے کبھی. مت لگانا دل کو تم فانی حسینوں سے کبھی، ایک دن خاک منقش، ایک دن خاک منقش، نظر مدفن ہو گئی، ایک دن خاک منقش، نظر مدفن ہو گئی، جب سے اختر رو کشے اغیار بیگانا ہوا، جب سے اختر رو کشے اغیار بیگانا ہوا، بزم اہل دل میں اس کی، بزم اہل دل میں اس کی قدر احسن ہو گئی، بزم اہل دل میں اس کی قدر احسن ہو گئی، کس قدر ظلمت کدا تھی انجمن ان کے بغیر، اور ان کے آتے ہی سراپا بزم روشن ہو گئی، نفس کے گندے تقاضوں سے جو انبن ہو گئی، روح میری سنبلو ریحان و سوسن ہو گئی، نفس کے گندے تقاضوں سے جو انبن ہو گئی.
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. This is the poem of our Dada Sheikh Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Nawar Allahu Manqadahu. Try to do justice to the poem. Few points I never said it properly, but inshallah we'll give a gist of what the poem is mentioning. What I understood was Maulana is explaining that one day inevitably we have to reach our qabr, and Maulana is talking about the life that we're going through. There's either two ways of going through life. One is fulfilling all your desires and not gaining the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one is restraining your nafs, holding back on your nafs. And then when you pass away, you'll reach the state where it said to you, "Radiyatan mardiya," and enter into Jannah. So one is making indication to the hadith when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that a pious person, of us, let's do evil person, when he is about to pass away, then his ruh, when it's taken out from his body, it's as if a cloth was thrown into a thorny bush, and now a person is trying to pull that cloth out. One is a person takes his time and picks up every cloth from the thorn, but one is where a person just rips it out. So for an evil person, one is the ruh will come out with a lot of difficulty. And here what the poem is talking of, when you're an evil person, then your ruh has a stench that the angels even don't want to take that ruh up. So Hazrat Maulana is mentioning that if you restrain yourself and you hold yourself back from all the evil desires from your ruh, from your nafs, where Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran, وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِسُوءٍ, that your nafs is going to tempt you to doing wrong. But the test of yours is to stay away from that evil. We, Hazrat Maulana Hakim Akhtar Sahib, Rahmatullah, used to mention, Rahmatan Wasi'ah, used to mention that don't make dua, Allah Ta'ala takes away the desire of sin from you. But rather make dua that Allah Ta'ala gives you the strength to hold back from committing the sin. So then what happens is when you hold back from that sin, you become a wali of Allah. You become a wali in eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because they say the difference between humankind and the angels don't have desire to do wrong. So for them, there's no jannah. But for a human being, he has that temptation to say, I want to do that. The woman now is some, Allah Ta'ala guide us, Allah Ta'ala keep us protected. It's a sad thing that winter is finished. Alhamdulillah, in winter you see many of the women are covered up. But in summer, even if you don't want to look, sometimes the picture just comes in front of you. So, Mu'ana is saying that you have to restrict your nafs. Keep your nafs under control. So he said they don't make dua, Allah Ta'ala take away the desire of sin. But rather Allah Ta'ala couple the desire of sin with the ability to restrain yourself. So Mu'ana is saying that if you do that, then your ruh will be full of perfume. So meaning you'll reach that stage of such highness that your ruh will be something that the angels will cherish and want to take up. That they'll say, this ruh is filled with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This ruh is filled with the love of akhirah. We want to carry this ruh. We want to take it up to Jannah. The Mu'ana is saying that when the heart is filled with this love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what we refer to as dardadil, that this deep love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then at every station, every place you go, the only thought on your mind is, how am I going to make my Allah happy? No matter where I am, what I'm doing, the only thing in front of me is the pleasure of my Rabb. That in this condition, how am I going to make my Allah happy? If I do this action here, is my Allah going to be happy with me? Should I carry on with it? Or my Allah is not going to be happy with me, let me pull back. So Mu'ana is saying that once you get this pain in the heart of the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then every action of yours is in line. Everything you're taking notes, you're keeping your eye on track. As if a person is driving on the road, he's checking for the potholes. Where's the pothole? I mustn't hit the pothole. So in this same line here, everywhere I'm going, I'm seeing, I mustn't injure myself. I must go straight to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with ease and comfort. I mustn't make any mishap upon it. And then Mu'ana is mentioning that, how do you get this? He says, stay in the company of the Ahlullah. When you stay in the company of the Ahlullah, automatically it will rub off onto you. It's a famous example, a person who goes to the blacksmith, even if he doesn't benefit anything from the blacksmith, his clothing is still going to get knocked with the sparks, it's going to get dirty with the smoke, and it might even pick up some dirt from where the person was working. And on the other hand, if a person stays near a person or enters a perfume shop, then even if he doesn't buy any perfume, he doesn't try any perfume on, just being in the shop, that perfume will rub onto his clothes. So in the same light, just staying with the Ahlullah, then what happens is all the darkness of evil that is around you all the time. And we're living in such a world where it's what we call the world of advent. Everywhere you look, you're invited towards evil. And what happens is it becomes so ingrained to you that you don't even realize it. We're explaining to some people a while back that we say when we were small, and more so the elderly, to look, example, at alcohol and to look at a swine, what used to happen is a person turns his face away. That is haram. Sis, I can't look at it. But now with this generation of youth, and for them Allah Ta'ala protect them, the trials is even worse. But an easy example for us is, with them now they look at liquor and an example, look at the swine, and that nafrat in the heart is no more there. Why? Because this advertisement, this darkness of advertisement is found all over. And it's attacking them, what we can say, left, right and center. So you don't even see how the effect of that evil, of that advert, is touching the heart. So Mu'ana is saying that the world is, as if to say, filled with darkness. But once you have this pain in your heart, and you're going to have this, how am I going to make my Allah happy? Then automatically a nur will be created in your heart. And this nur will take away the darkness of evil. Where Hazrat Mu'ana always mentions to us, if a room is, if there's darkness, then what you do, you put one candle on. And that candle removes all the darkness. So same, one spark of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the heart is enough to remove all the darkness of adverse. The Mu'ana is mentioning that you might be even in the desert. And you might be alone and there's nothing with you. You're just in the open land. But then when you're there and you have this dardadil and you have this concern of your Rabb, then even though you are alone and you, what we'll say, in no man's land, nowhere, you'll still have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with you. And if you have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with you, you have everything. And Mu'ana is saying that you might be inside the desert, but it will be as if you are in the garden. I assume, yeah, I'm not sure, subject to correction, Mu'ana might be making ishara towards his own hunger. Because Mu'ana was from Gulshan Iqbal. So it's possible Mu'ana is making ishara to his own hanka to say that even if you out of the hanka, but if you have the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then your heart is always connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Mu'ana is saying that what's going to happen, your nafs and shaitan, it's not mentioned of shaitan, but your nafs is always going to be your enemy. But once you have that dard, that deal and that concern of how is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala going to be happy, then at all times your nafs is always suppressed. And you'll always be in charge of it. Where the example is given that your nafs and your ruh is like a rider upon a horse. If it's a wild horse and it's not a good rider, the horse takes control and the rider can't do anything. But on the other hand, if you are first rider, then they can give you the wildest of horses, you'll be able to keep it under your control. But that's after you get the training of controlling a horse. So same, the nafs is also something which is wild. But if you go for the training of how to keep your nafs under control, then 24 hours the only thought of yours is, my Allah is looking at me. I can't do this. I won't do this. I'm not doing it out of the fear of Allah. I'm doing it out of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Mu'ana mentions about a lion, an Afghani lion. So I don't understand the Afghani lion, but this example of the horse and the rider, inshallah, will be able to explain that. And then Mu'ana is ending off and he's saying that when you stay with Ahle Dunya, people whose heart is linked to this world, then what happens is you also get love for this world. And when you stay with the Ahlullah, then automatically the love of this world becomes something bitter in your heart. And it's not something that you give your life for. You might use the world according to its necessity. But you'll realize at the end of the day, this is dunya and I'm created for akhirah. I'm not supposed to love my life here as if there's no tomorrow. So you'll use dunya according to how much you have to use it, but your heart will always be focused on how to get my akhirah. So Mu'ana is saying then how, the last point he ends, how do you get this and how do you understand and where you're going to get this dardadil is only sitting in the company of the Ahlullah, the lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how we mentioned about the example of the perfume, just sitting amongst the lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will rub onto our heart. Where ulama mentioned that when you come for a bayan, always come with the heart open. Where ulama mentioned that before, example, you come for the majlis, read two rakat salah. Oh Allah, in this majlis that I'm coming for, whatever is my sicknesses, guide me towards the correction. Whatever problems I have, put it on the Shaykh's tongue, he must speak about it. And then what happens is, you come with an empty cup. And then as the Shaykh speaks, Allah Ta'ala makes it, all your problems get sorted out. Where you'll just come there and you'll say, this was troubling me for so long. And just by the way, the Sheikh speaks about it. Why? Because this is something which is ilhami. You connecting your heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala will make it the way to connect to Him is easy. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. You make the intention to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala will ultimately connect you to Him. If you don't benefit it in this world, undoubtedly on the day of Qiyamah, you will be counted amongst the lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make me a lover of Him, make all of us a lover of Him, and grant us His love and the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If what I said is correct, alhamdulillah. If not, Hazrat Mawlana can always guide us.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. We're doing a chapter from حياة المسلمين regarding income and expenditure. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said, an honest and righteous trader will be with the Anbiya, the Siddiqeen and the Shuhada on the day of Qiyamah, the high ranking awliya and the martyrs on the day of Qiyamah. The great significance of lawful trade is stated in this hadith. The lawful trader who is honest and uprighteous will enjoy the association of the Anbiya alayhi salam, the saints and the martyrs in the year after. Another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the noblest food ate by one is that from his own lawful labor. Nabi Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam ate from the labor of his hands. Islam teaches us the nobility and dignity of work and labor. The hadith explains much significance of labor. Nabi Dawud alayhi salam earned his living by making armor. However, the significance applies to only such occupations which are in accordance with the Sharia. Haram forms of labor and occupations, example photography of living objects, musical instruments, cinemas, etc., are haram forms of occupations. The proceeds from unlawful occupations are also unlawful. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu raised that once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there was not a Nabi who was not sent as a shepherd. Sahaba radiallahu anhu asked, you also tended to sheep? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, I tended the goats of the people of Makkah Mukarramah. This hadith too shows the significance of manual labor. All the Anbiya alayhi wa sallam were shepherds looking after the sheep and goats of people. Musa alayhi salatu wa sallam remained a shepherd, tending the goats and sheep of Nabi Shu'aib alayhi wa sallam for 8 to 10 years. The episode of Musa alayhi salam being a shepherd is narrated in the Quran Sharif as well. This again brings out the significance of manual labor. Hazrat Thabit ibn Dullak radiallahu anhu raised that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam permitted hiring out of land. Income derived from land and property hiring is also a lawful occupation in Islam, as this hadith shows. Among the noble ways of earning living is farming. Much significance of farming has been mentioned in the hadith. Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu says that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whatever man, animal or bird eats from any tree or farm planted by a Muslim, the owner obtains the sawab of sadaqah thereby. In a lengthy hadith, a man from the Ansar came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and requested something. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent someone to bring a mug and mat from one house. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam auctioned these items amongst Sahaba. With the money obtained from the items, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bought some food and an ass. Giving these to the Ansari, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, go to the forest, cut wood and sell it. This is better for you than begging, which will be a blot of disgrace on your face on the day of Qiyamah. This hadith shows that a lawful occupation, no matter how menial and inferior, is better than begging. Asking is a disgrace. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah ta'ala loves a believer who engages in a lawful means of earning a living. A halal trade or any halal means of earning should not be despised. Many people consider certain forms of earning as lowly and regard such people with contempt. The Hadith Sharif, in stating Allah's love for the believer who earns a halal livelihood, shows the dignity of labor and brings out the great significance of earning one's living, irrespective of how lowly and inferior the work may seem in the eyes of worldly people. It is in a person's own interest that he saves up some money so he may be safe from worry and despondency. It is a fact that most people are unable to undergo hardship. When in need of money, they resort to practices which are unlawful and adopt haram measures to obtain money in order to satisfy their needs. It is therefore necessary to abstain from waste and at the same time to save up money. There is nothing wrong in saving. According to the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would give his wife's expenses at one time for the whole year. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised the Sahaba radiallahu anhum to retain some wealth, as this is better for peace of mind. This was specifically stated by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Hazrat Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, who wanted to give all of his money in the path of Allah ta'ala. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I detest a man who is useless. He is neither engaged in any worldly activity nor any activity of the akhirat. Inactivity and indolence, laziness are evil attributes. A man who is not engaged in deeni work should involve himself in some lawful worldly activity and earn his livelihood. He should not remain idle and waste away his life. On the other hand, those involved fully in deeni activities should place their trust in Allah Ta'ala. He is the provider. He will most certainly provide for them. Workers of the deen should not be in the least worried in regard to their rozi and sustenance. On the other hand, extravagance and wasting is evil. The Sharia prohibits waste. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, do not waste. Verily the wastes are the brothers of shaitan. One hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah Ta'ala hates and detests that you destroy your wealth by means of wasting. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, walk along the middle path. This means the adoption of moderation. Moderation in spending is the instruction of Islam. Spend only when necessary. If people are moderate in expenditure and waste, stay away from extravagance, they will never be dependent on others. They will never be forced to ask others, thereby bringing disgrace upon themselves. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, to ask is disgrace. Overspending and failing to budget one's income leads to debt, which in debt turn brings disgrace, worry and frustration. People are financially ruined, and along with such worldly ruin comes spiritual ruin as well. Amongst the worst of calamities is debt, especially if one has no means of paying the debt. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has sounded dire warnings in regard to unpaid debt. Even martyrdom is no absolution for debt. Ishtaheed will be forgiven for all of his sins besides debt. In this regard, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I take an oath by that being in whose possession is my life, that the man who is in debt will not enter Jannah, even if he is martyred in the path of Allah Ta'ala. Then he is resurrected and again martyred. Then again resurrected and again martyred. He will not enter Jannah until his debt is paid. However, there are exceptions. If the debt was incurred on account of a real need, and one has the intention of paying, and at the same time makes an effort to pay, then the warning stated in the above hadith will not apply. In such cases, even if the debt remains unpaid, Allah Ta'ala will settle the rights of the creditors on behalf of the sincere debtor who was genuinely unable to pay. This discussion in this section shows that wealth is acquired lawfully and spent in accordance with the Sharia is a ni'mat from Allah Ta'ala. Wealth becomes an evil when acquired and used against the commands of Allah Ta'ala. When wealth, like even wives and children, stops one's spiritual development and interferes with one's deeni life, then it is very evil. In Surah Taghabun, Allah Ta'ala describes even one's family as one's enemy. This applies when one's family obstructs one in the path of Allah Ta'ala. The same reasoning will apply to wealth. The ayat mentioning that family can be one's enemy also states that wealth can be one's enemy. This will be when one's family and wealth causes one to forget the akhirat, as they will be one's enemies. Guys, finally, the mu'min should make use of the bounties of Allah Ta'ala like an obedient slave and not a rebellious traitor. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to make amal.